Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We are in the month where we are focusing on all things legacy. So would you just join with me as we pray before we open the Word together? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active. We thank you, God, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, we thank you for the word that has been declared from this platform and many other platforms in our city as your church was established over 100 years ago. And God, we look to what you have done in the past and we say thank you. We thank you, God, for the generations that have gone before us. But Lord, we look forward with anticipation and expectation about what you want to do in the here and the now. And God, we thank you that this is a place that we get to call home and be a part of what you're doing for the future generations. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, like I said, we're in All Things Legacy Month. It's an exciting thing to be able to look back and see what the Lord has done. And just interestingly enough, as we have celebrated one transition here today on platform in our youth ministry, my parents, who were a part of this church in the 70s, have just gone back to Seattle and spent time with a man named Larry Anderson, who was a pastor in this church, a youth pastor in the 70s. Does anyone here remember Larry Anderson? He went by the name of Bones. We've got one hand here, one hand. Anyone else? Anyone else remember? Maybe you, no, not many people that were here in the 70s. Jeff, you're one. One of a few. But anyway, it's exciting to be able to look back and see some of the things that God has done in this church. But you know what? The church is not a building. It's not an organization, although it has elements to that. But it is a body of people. People made up of individuals like yourself. And you know, a legacy is defined as something that is as a direct result of something which continues or exists after it's over. And it's crazy to think that you and I are sitting here and there's one person that can remember back to the 70s, but that you and I are sitting here today as a part of what the Lord did back 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and will continue to do for the future. But you know, this thing isn't just 100 years old. The church in of itself, from the day that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again, was birthed anew, and we're here because of that. Jesus is the ultimate legacy. Amen? It is the legacy, it is the reason in which we have our being and why we are existing and establishing our part to play in what God is building for the future. And it's crazy to think that in this church, we've seen prayer meetings that established the birthing of this house. We've seen kids ministry. Did you know this church had a kids ministry of over 500 kids? 500 young people that are somewhere now across the earth being something and somewhere an extension of God's kingdom somewhere else. I look across the room and have seen it filled service after service after service over many years, and many of you have been here longer than me and some of you have been here shorter than me. But the reality is what we are part of as a 100-year celebration actually has a part for you and I to play for the 100 years of legacy to come. You know, we've had missionaries sent out, we've had communities transformed, we've had worship choirs back in the day that would fill the platforms and people would come to hear of the worship that was coming out of this house. In recent years, we've launched worship albums that have gone on to transform people's lives as they've spent time in the Word of God in their homes. We've seen youth ministries established that have left lives changed of young people, young adult pastors that have seen and married many young people who have come to faith and then gone on to establish new generations. We've seen miracles in this house. This house has been a place where many have laid out on the street, both slain in the spirit, but those who were brought in on sick beds to actually wait their turn to get into services where they could encounter the living God. I want to suggest to us today, church, that God's not finished. He's not finished in doing what he wants to do through his church. And his church is not just a gathering on Sunday. It is the individuals that make up that gathering that live out their Monday to Saturday, which we play part of. And so many of you have been part of the stories of what God did in the past parts that you have played. Funny story, I found out 4 months ago that my mum was on staff in this church back in the 70s. I was like, "Mum, why didn't you tell me?" She said, "It was a horrible time." I said, "Okay." She never told me she was on staff, but she was on staff here. Josh found minutes and meeting notes of back then where my mum's name's on it because she was the secretary taking notes. But you know, my parents decided that they wanted to get married and have kids and not just live in a moment of a legacy of the past, but they wanted to leave a legacy for the future. Yeah. And it's wild to think that I now not only was born and raised in this church, baby dedicated by Pastor Phil Hills, but now have this privilege to be able to lead in this season. Yeah. But can I be honest with you? I don't want to live off what my parents had. I don't want to live off the miracles that they saw. I want to live in a seed moment right here now that leaves a legacy for the generations to come. And I honestly believe that you and I stand here because of the prayers someone else prayed yesterday. We're here today. But what are the prayers that you and I are praying for the tomorrow, for the 100 years that someone else will have the privilege of living in? See, come with me. You won't see this one on the screen, so if you've got a Bible, you're going to be winning with me today. But we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through to 6. Because I believe a legacy that one leaves can have a lasting impact on individuals. It can have a lasting impact on families. It can have a lasting impact on communities. It can inspire faith and encourage righteous living in the here and now and promote the gospel. But it happens as a result of people who recognize that there is something to be handed down from generation to generation. We find this where Paul writes and speaks to Timothy about this, and he says in verse 5 and 6, it says, I'm working without glasses, sorry guys. That is a sign that I'm getting old. Let's not take that as a... All right, here it is. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, it's a terrible name, and I am persuaded is also in you. Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Can I suggest to you today that it was never meant just to stay in the past of what they did and we celebrate what they did and enjoy the shadow of what they did, but it's actually meant to go from one generation to the next. Yeah. Psalm 145, our foundation scripture, talks about this. From one generation to another, they shall declare your works. Joshua speaks of setting up stones as a memorial to speak so that when the kids saw the stones, that they would tell of the stories of what had happened. But can I just suggest to you today that having stories of what God did in the past is not enough? We need our own here and now miracles. We need our own here and now legacy being sown for the future generations. It's not enough for us to actually consume or enjoy the shadows of what people have done in the past. But it is actually for us to go, what are we leaving for the next 100 years? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children. Can I suggest to you that's not just about riches of this world, but it's riches of the kingdom of God. You know how easy it is for a generation to grow up and not know the works and the wonders and the power of God? Because they don't see it. Back in my day, I'm sorry. But if that's your story, I'm asking you, where is the same power that raised Christ from the dead that lives and dwells in you, and what is he doing through you today? Because it's not enough to go back in my day. It's not enough to be able to say, well, one day when, because the next generation needs something to build off in the here and the now. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and this is our foundation scripture today. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through to 32. And it says this, and he said, the kingdom of God as is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by the day, and the seed should sprout and grow and himself not know how. For the earth yields its crops by itself, the first blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. And then he said, to what shall we then liken the kingdom of God? Or what with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown in on the ground is smaller than the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and all the shoots. And it shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Friends, I don't want to live under the legacy of a great history. I want to live something that outlives me. That outlives me. That outlives you and I. That in 100 years, they might play back the songs that we're singing, the messages that we're preaching, the miracles that are happening in your world, in your family, and in your home, that there would be testimony after testimony that comes up on the screen. This marriage was changed. This young person got saved and a generation came to faith. And as a result, they now go on to live out the Christian faith in our world. I don't know about you, but I'm not content to live under the shadow of what was sown over 100 years ago. But I actually want to start sowing my own seeds. I want to start to believe that the God who did it back then can do it here and now. So how do we live a legacy in the here and now? How do we live it? I believe that through our faith and through our actions, through our values and through our contribution, that we can actually leave a legacy that will outlive us. You know, Aaron's going to help me out and just... Thank you so much. I'm born, raised in Melbourne and went to the country in my teenage years and learned a lot in my time in the country. And I sat with my pastor at one time and tried to understand this passage of scripture, and the previous passage to that at the start of chapter 4 talks about the farmer who sows seed. And it talks about how it falls on rocky ground, talks about how it falls in the thorns and the thistles. It talks about where it falls into fertile ground and talks about how it reproduces 30, 60, 100 times over. You familiar? And I always found it really interesting because when I worked on an orchard, I was taught that you literally dig up the ground that's in front of you with a tractor with a little pokey thing, it digs it up, and then you come along and you sow your one seed and move along and you plant another and you cover it up with a bit of dirt, you move along and plant another. And there's a real intentionality that takes place to laying out the seed. But this passage of scripture talks about how seed was just scattered. It doesn't matter. No food in the auditorium. It doesn't matter where it lands. Because the only thing that you and I are responsible for is to scatter seed. How do we leave something for the next generation? We scatter seed. We scatter seed. It's not... Is anyone just like baffled and confused about that? Because it feels like it's a waste if the seed doesn't take and it falls. No. The Lord just says, our responsibility is to scatter seed. Yeah. My question is, what seeds are we sowing here and now for the next 100 years? What seeds do we have the privilege of stewarding in this season to scatter and believe that God could do something great and mighty again? See, the reality is your legacy is built every day in how you live, how you serve, and how you love today. See, a legacy lives on when you and I recognize that we are simply called to scatter seed. And a legacy lives on because you don't know what that one seed might do. Amen. Pastor David was sharing last week in our staff meeting around this young man who reached out to him on social media to talk to him about how when he was a chaplain in a high school 20 years ago, that David said something that took root in his heart, that 20 years later led him to find Jesus for himself, led him to find the God of David now becoming his God. You don't know what's happening with the seed that you're scattering. It's not for you to know. Whether it produces an oak tree or whether it produces an orange tree or a shrub, it's not for you to know. But the question is, are you scattering seed? Because some of us are, if I can't get it to go where I want it to go, what I want it to do or what I want it to produce, I'm just not going to do it. Or I'm going to wait until I've got all my toys lined up in a line. I know there's a saying that matches that and I can't think of it, but ducks in a row. Thanks. Some of us are waiting. But do you know there's a world out there waiting to know Jesus? I'm grateful for the people that have gone before us. You know, when Pastor Phil Hills took on this church in the 70s, was coming out of a crisis back then. And I've read in one of the books that he's written and spoken about how he said, the Lord said to him, don't worry about that. Just focus on reaching people. Just focus on getting the gospel out there. I'm so thankful that Phil didn't get stuck in a moment, but actually decided, you know what? We're just going to scatter seed. Have you seen the wild photos behind us of all the pink crazy world of chairs and paint and walls and curtains and all the crazy things? But have you seen the seeds that were sown? Have you seen the people that are lifted up hands before the Lord that are out there somewhere now, not even in this church? I could ask many of you to stand who have been here for 50 years and there would be a handful. I could ask some who have been here for 50 days and there'd be a multitude. Or maybe even 5 years. But what's going to be standing as a result as you are sent out and scattered out somewhere, and what will it produce? We have this privilege. We have been given this gospel. And the gospel is the seed. Gospel, Jesus is the seed. He is the greatest form of legacy that you could leave. But friends, we can't get busy about trying to get all our ducks in a row. We can't be busy about trying to make sure we've got all our lined up things. We've got to actually just get busy just scattering and believing that God will do what he wants to do through the scattered seed. See, Romans actually indicates, Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 12, and his whole passage actually could be really used to be able to explain how to get a lasting legacy. And it's a fascinating passage because it breaks down into three parts that actually speak into you and I about how we leave a legacy. How do we leave a legacy in our families? How do we leave a legacy in our schools, our communities, our universities, the places in which we live and have our being? How do we leave a legacy? Everyone's familiar with this passage, but Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that you and I are to live and to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to our God, which is our reasonable act of service. Why are we living sacrifices? Because now the Bible says in Corinthians that you and I are now the temple of the living God. Yeah. Our life now is a sacrifice daily unto him. Right. And when we recognize that the now presence of God dwells in you and I, it's not about Richmond Temple. It's about the temple of God living in you. I thank God for the days of Richmond Temple, but I thank God more for the individuals that are in here right now, that every single person has the living God dwelling inside of them as a temple of a living God. Friend, you now have this presence in you. How do you scatter seed? Wherever you go, he goes. Wherever you find yourself, he's right there. He's right there. But you know what a sacrifice is? It's something that costs you. It's something that takes time. And sometimes it's something that you have to tie down on the altar. Because that thing's living. And sometimes it means that you're going to have to go across the road when the Spirit of the Lord grips your heart, and all of a sudden you're aware of, oh my gosh, God, you are speaking to me and I need to do something with this. And you walk over and you don't have a clue what you need to say, but you know the Bible says he will give you what to say. So you go over and you just scatter your seed. The Bible says that some plant, some sow, and some water, and some reap. You, friend, might just be sowing that seed and someone else comes along and reaps it. You might be walking into someone else's world and realizing this is a beautiful orange off this tree and someone sowed it ages ago and I'm going to take something from it. And it's ripe and it's ready for harvest. But the part you have to play is the part of being a living sacrifice. It's a part where we all of a sudden realize my life is not my own. I am a laid down lover of Jesus, which means wherever I go, he goes. And whatever he says, I say. And whatever he leads me to, I go to. But more often than not, we kind of allow ourselves just to get on with our busy day and forget that you and I are a living sacrifice. You know, what's really interesting, I find it really interesting when people leave their Christianity to Sunday. They leave it to Sunday. They come to church and they go, okay, all right, I've got to work myself up. I've got to work out, okay, I'm going to worship and I'm going to try and work out where God is. I'm going to try and do what God, okay, so what is, okay, all right. And I've heard people say this, it takes me a while to warm up to become aware of God's presence. Can I just say that's a problem? The presence of God dwells in you. You don't come in here to find his presence. You don't come in here to find his presence. His presence is in you. Wherever you go, he goes. It's not a, and now hear my heart. I understand, busy, car park, yep, kids screaming, dirt, dirt, dirt. And you come in, it takes a little while to center yourself. That is true. Because you have to set your mind, right? But you should be aware in the everyday. Because that crazy doesn't just happen on the way to church, that happens in your everyday. And so we have this responsibility to steward the very presence of the living God in our lives. And what is required of that is that we would die to ourselves, become more aware of what he is doing, what he wants to do, and where he wants to go, and partnering with him in doing it. That's what it looks like to scatter seed. To sow seed in someone else's life is to not be aware of the coffee that you want for yourself. It could be to buy the coffee for the person in front of you that their tap thing just won't work and it's driving you crazy. Don't just get frustrated because it's taking time, but say, hey, can I buy your coffee? Yeah. A living sacrifice. The second thing that Romans indicates here with Paul as he shares is this reality of that you and I have been given gifts. I want to encourage you to go back and read this passage of scripture, but it says, through grace it has been given to you, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one, a measure of faith. Friends, you have been given a measure of faith, a measure of seeds. For as we are many members in one body, but not all members have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Somebody say, let us use them. Friend, you have been given gifts. It goes on and describes these gifts here and it says, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If in proportion to our faith, for our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, exhortation. He who gives, give liberally. He who leads, lead with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Friends, you and I have been given gifts. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And we often get really excited about those ones because they've got like power and healing and tongues and all the good ones. But you've been given gifts of different kinds. And each one of you has a gift, and God's saying, will you use it? Will you use it? Because I can promise you this, this is how you live a legacy and leave a legacy. You know, the carpets are only happening because a businessman in our church came and said, I've got something to give. If you can raise some money, I've got something to give. I've got other people in other places and spaces, got other businesses that have come in and said, hey, if you provide the paint, we've got painters. Professionals. Don't panic. Professionals. And people are coming in and going, well, I can give this. Friend, what gift do you have? Because right now, that gift, it's a seed. You know, the ushers make way for you to come into the service and enjoy the service and smile and greet you and love on you. They're scattering seed every week, believing that you will find God to be who he says he will and that the shadows of what is sown will overshadow you and be a blessing to you. Friend, what gifts do you have that you can use to scatter seed? And can I just say this? It's not just the gift in church. It's the gift to the world. It's the gift to the community and the people around you. Your workplaces, your homes, your schools, your universities, the places in which you find yourself. You're called to serve in those spaces. Using your gifts to serve one another. Taking what you have been giving and living a generous life is leaving a legacy. Yeah. Funny story. I talked about how my parents have been on staff here and now I'm on staff here. And just this week, my nephews came in. I've got two nephews from two different families who are being raised and brought up in the ways of God and have a real heart for the house of God. And one of them has parents who are pastors. And I was talking with them and asking them about, hey, what do you guys want to do when you get older? And I'm sowing seed into their lives, right? Having conversations with them about, okay, what are you thinking about the future? I had this conversation with them and said, hey, would you want to come and do some work experience? And so I had a chat with one of our business guys who's doing the carpet and said, hey, listen, I've got some nephews. Could they come and do some work experience? Pull up the carpet, you know, pass the carpet tiles, pack up the boxes, open the boxes, you know, all the things that come. My two nephews were so excited to come down and get to do some real work. They came down and they unpacked boxes. They moved a whole bunch of stuff around and helped out where they could. And they rolled some of the chairs back in the layout levels. And they helped put some of these chairs back in this week with some of the team. And, you know, they didn't come down here expecting to be paid for what they were doing. They were just coming to do some work experience. And we got them in here and I was like, okay, well, we need to keep you busy because boys need to be kept busy, yeah? And so the chairs that you're all sitting on down here in this section, they came in and they washed. They got their carpet cleaning, upholstery cleaning machines, and for 4 days, from 7 a.m. till 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., and on one day, 8 p.m., they came in here and they cleaned, detail cleaned every single one of these chairs. They weren't looking for what they could get from it. They were looking to do something, to give something and bless somebody else. Pastor Joe and Kane had a conversation with them along with a couple of elder of our staff, and the boys, I just stood there. I just listened to what they say. Oh, we're just so glad that we get to be able to do something like this for the church. We love the church. We love the house of God. Like, and I'm sitting there. I'm almost like wanting to bawl. They didn't come to get something from the church. They don't even go to this church. But they came to give something. The beautiful thing was that some of the team decided, hey, let's put something together and give them a gift voucher. And we honour a firm's value. And so we honoured the two boys. But they came and they gave something that they could do. And they scattered seed. Now these chairs, they don't have liquid coffee in them. The liquid coffee came out of them and it was disgusting. Came in and they cleaned the carpet in the mother's room and got the dry cleaning machine out. And man, I tell you, they were just scattering seed. What will God do with that? And you might think that, oh, a chair won't do much. But what if that's the chair that the person that you bring to Christmas this year sits on and gets saved? And it no longer has a ring, a stain around it. You know what I'm talking about. Because some of you all spilt your coffee there and you know it. Some of you just dropped your communion on there. It happens. But we've got to do the best to do what we can do with what God has given to us in this season. And this is what He's given to us to steward. My question to us today is, what seeds are we sowing? What seeds are we sowing? What gifts and talents are we using? If it's give generously. If it's prophesy, prophesy. If it's to be merciful, be merciful. To be joyful, to be joyful. To be cheerful, to be... What is it that the Lord has given to you? You know, your smile might just make someone's day walking through the front door. Don't wait for a roster. Get involved. Use your gifts, use your talents. Use them in the places you live and have you been. My last thing is this. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21 says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honour, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your minds on things on high things, but associate yourself with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay. That was a great one for my nephews this week, just saying. I was like, these boys, these men are doing this trade. They know it better than you. So just learn. It was great. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for what is good in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not overcome evil, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, you're like, oh yeah, yeah, but what does that all mean? Can I sum it up by saying this? Live like a Christian. Did you know that living like a Christian is scattering seed? Living like a Christian means you actually live out what you believe. Living like a Christian means that our beliefs determine our behavior. Living with character and integrity and righteousness and living like everybody else is watching because God is. And living like a Christian so that your kids learn how to live when they get older. When we behave like a Christian, it's sowing seeds. When we turn the other cheek, it's sowing seeds. When we love when somebody hates, it's sowing seeds. And it represents Him well. See, living a legacy is built every day through you and I on how we live as a sacrifice, how we serve with what God has given to us, and how we love and live like a Christian today. Friends, don't just enjoy the shade of what someone did back when. But what are the seeds that you and I are sowing today? Sowing today. Because what we do in this life echoes for eternity. Can you stand with me? The beautiful thing about a seed is that it has to go into the ground and die so it can produce what needs to happen. And living a legacy that lives beyond you and I is actually going to require us to sow some seeds. Sow seeds in the community we live in, sow seeds in the church we come and find community and find the living God. But I don't know about you, but I want to sow seeds for miracles. I want to sow seeds for healing. I want to sow seeds for salvation. I want to sow seeds. And I don't just want to sow one. I want to throw everything I've got at it. Because just maybe one will take. Thousands of prayers, scattering seed. Miracle didn't happen there, but it happened here. Friend, want to leave a legacy? Scatter seed. Scatter seed in the world you live, in the place you find yourself. And make a decision that you'll live as a sacrifice, sensitive to what He's saying, what He's doing, taking your gifts and talents and using them both in the world to serve the city you live in and to serve the church you find yourself a part of. And then behave like a Christian so that someone can come and sit under the shade of your life. The reason you're here today is because someone sowed a seed in you. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was a youth group. Maybe it was a kids ministry. Maybe it was a friend sitting next to you today in this service. It all starts with a life surrendered with a yes to Him. So right across the room right now, I'm gonna ask. There are a number of guests here today who've come in, and maybe you've been coming here for a while and you're part of the furniture, but you haven't actually made a decision to say yes to Jesus. Friend, the beautiful thing is that Jesus came, He lived, He died, and He rose again, conquering sin and death over 2,000 years ago, which is why we're here today. But that isn't a history story. It is a here and now reality in the lives of people around you who have encountered a living God. And all that's required of you is actually that you would believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and choose to pick up your cross and follow Him as He leads you in this life. And I want to give an opportunity, as we do across every one of our services, for you to be able to respond and say, yeah, today's the day I'm saying yes to Jesus. I'm going to receive Him. I'm going to receive life. I'm going to receive forgiveness of sin and the right to become a child of God. And just so we know who we're praying for, we ask that people raise their hand. You're not raising it before a man. You're actually raising it before God. God sees that hand and will hear your prayer and respond and come and make His home in you. So whoever that is today in the room, I'm just going to ask you to simply, while everyone else has got their eyes closed, their heads bowed, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand today and say, yeah, that's me. I need to make a decision to say yes to Jesus. Friend, I can guarantee you this. This will be the moment your life changes. When He comes and makes His home in you, leaves you clean, white as snow, forgiven, and called a child of God. Anyone today right across the room that wants to say yes to Jesus, we do this every service because we never want to miss somebody who wants to respond to the good news of the gospel. Friends, right here, right now, in this service, we have a house full of people who believe and who know God. And there's a world out there that needs to know Him. So today, my question to us is, are we living a life scattering seed, or are we living a life sitting under the shadows of what someone else did, kicking back and enjoying a latte? My prayer is today that God would cause you to be awoken to being a farmer who sows seed as a believer. Then the places that you live, that you would walk with an awareness of who He is and sow seed. And realize that seed will outlive you. You may never see the full fruit of it. Your simple, "My Jesus loves you," may feel like it falls on rocky ground, but you may not know that it takes and produces in years to come. But we're confronted today with this reality. Are we sowing seed, or are we sitting under the shade of a tree? And I'm simply gonna ask today that as we close our service and as we pray, but as you make your way out today, that maybe just instead of walking straight out the back door and doing the bolt, that you actually make a decision, "I'm going to go and I'm going to take a seed to remind me that I'm called to be a seed sower, that I'm called to build a legacy for the future." Because I believe more than ever that this church has not yet had her most beautiful days. She's not yet had the most glorious encounters over lives in this house. She's not yet had the moments where she's impacted the community that the whole community of Richmond knows her. She's not yet stepped into the fullness of her destiny, and she won't until you realize the part that you get to play. So Jesus, I thank you for every person that calls Newman Church home. I thank you, God, for the seeds that have been sown over 100 years in the life of this church that have led us to our here and now, but seeds that have been sown in our lives through others that are now producing fruit. And God, while we have enjoyed the benefits of having shade every now and again, like every good farmer does, Lord, I thank you that you are calling an awakening in our hearts and lives to recognize that we are called to be farmers who would sow seeds to leave a legacy that would go on for 100 years more. And so God, I thank you that right now, that this month is like a line in the sand for the church moving forward. I thank you, God, that this church will no longer get caught up in the days gone by. They would benefit from it, but that they would jump from the shoulders of those who did it, those who sowed seeds in the past, and they would actually sow seeds that would produce a crop over 100-fold, over 60-fold, and over 30-fold. And so God, I thank you for the greatest days of salvation that are yet to happen. I thank you, God, for the missionaries that are yet to come. I thank you, God, for the salvation of many children that will take place in this community as a kids' ministry is established, and that God would reach a generation for you. I thank you, God, for a church that would live and lead and leave a legacy. And so, Lord, I ask today that what you're doing in us would provoke us beyond this moment here and now to recognize that you have given us seed to scatter. And may, Lord, you come and let the harvest of it be enjoyed in the years to come. I thank you, Lord, for every person who has been a seed sower and today who is just encouraged that maybe they don't yet see the seed taking form. Maybe they yet don't see the sprout through the ground. Maybe they yet don't see the fruit on the trees. But God, you go to work on the seed. you go to work on that which has been sown. And so, Lord, for every barren area right now, I command the oppression, the attack of the enemy against that seed to come off it in Jesus' name. I declare over businesses right now, fruitfulness in Jesus' name. I declare over ministries right now, fruitfulness in Jesus' name. I declare over marriages right now, fruitfulness in Jesus' name. I declare over barren wombs to bear children in Jesus' name. I declare over health, healing, and over sickness in this house, that there'll be health and healing in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you right now that we find ourselves as a people called by you to be farmers who sow seeds, who produce 100-fold in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.